This is Audible.
Kizu Monogatari, Wound Tale. Nisi Oisin, art by Vofon. Translated by Co Ransom. Chapter 0, Koyomi Vamp. Chapter 001.
I suppose I need to get around to talking about Kishata Seroraori on Heart Underblade. I probably have a duty to do so. During the spring break between my second and third years as a high school student, I met her. It was a shocking meeting, and it was a catastrophic one. In any case, I must have had terrible luck. Of course, in the same way that I was unable to avoid that bad luck, even if I somehow had. I doubt someone else would have met that fate. It actually seems extremely irresponsible to talk about my bad luck here. Maybe I should just be upfront and say that it was my fault. In the end, I think it was a chain of events only made possible because I was me. A chain of events. Actually, while I used those words just now without giving them any particular thought, I wouldn't be able to tell you what events bookend this chain. Where this incident began, what path it took, or how it ended, I can't declare the precise truth of the matter. It could be that it has yet to end, even now. Or perhaps it hasn't even started. And I say that not as a form of pretension or wordplay. That is what I honestly believe. Ultimately, I can only observe the incident from my own perspective. So I will never be able to know what that chain of events truly meant to anyone else, or what it didn't mean. Asking them may allow me to come to some degree of understanding of the circumstances, but even then, there's no way for me to know if their words are true. What I have is not the truth, but an understanding. And perhaps that's enough. But to begin with, and this is the one thing I can say definitively, such is the nature of the girl at the center of this all. Kishot Aseroraori on Heart Underblade. Someone who only holds meaning for the observer. Someone whose meaning changes depending on the observer. Someone whose meaning cannot be agreed upon by her observers. A vampire. Of course, I probably don't need to give you a detailed explanation of what a vampire is, whether in comics, movies, or games. That is a vein long since mined dry. The majority of Japanese people must be closely familiar with them, even though they aren't creatures born from the culture of this country. You might call them a bit of an old notion. Still, spring break. I was attacked by a vampire, one of these notions we now consider dated twice over. You could say it was stupid. In fact, I think I was stupid. And it was due to the stupidity of none but yours truly that I ended up experiencing 2 weeks of hell. A hell that took up the entire stretch of spring break, end to end. If it was one big joke, it sure felt like hell. If it was hell, it sure felt like one big joke. Like I said earlier, it will forever be a mystery to me when this chain of events began, where and how it transpired, and in what manner it ended. But while that may be an unsolvable dilemma, I am absolutely certain of when my own personal hell began and when it ended. March 26th to April 7th. Spring break. I would come to learn that creatures such as her, Kishot Aseroraori on Heart Underblade, are known as aberrations. Aberrations. Monsters. Inhumans. In that case, the one thing above all others that caused me to experience hell was the fact that I observed her, at that moment, at that location, in that fashion. I was a woefully unsuitable observer. And yes, a stupid one. While telling you about her would, by necessity, entail fully exposing my own stupidity, an act you may see as masochistic, I do think I have to talk about that vampire. About the story of the wound I received from her. About the story of how I wounded her. I have to talk about it. I have a duty to speak. That is my responsibility. This preamble has gotten quite long, but I'd like to ask for your understanding here. Though I've pompously gone on about responsibility and whatnot, it's merely the responsibility of a stupid jester. There's no telling when I'll founder, while it's a timid thing to say. I honestly do not have the confidence to finish telling this story. That is why I've been dragging out these proper-like preliminary remarks. Even so, I couldn't possibly go any longer. And after I finally begin the story, it could become like a rock rolling down a hill so that it'll be harder to stop. But to be sure, just in case it turns out that I lack the resolve, allow me to divulge how it ends here in advance. This story about a vampire has an unhappy ending. It concludes with everyone becoming miserable. And that's just the Hell's ending. The chain of events may not yet be over, and in any case, my responsibility to her will be a lifelong affair. Chapter 002. Making friends would lower my intensity as a human. I think I said something of the sort. As to when, it was right before spring break, Saturday, March 25th, in the afternoon of the day our school held its closing ceremony. I was wandering around aimlessly near the school I go to, Naowetsu High. We're talking about me, who has zero affiliation with any school club. I really was just wandering around, for no reason whatsoever. If you're wondering if I was thrilled that spring break would start the next day, I was by no means excited. As a rule, students are happy about any cluster of days off. Not just spring break, but summer break, winter break, golden week, and so on. Even I was happy for the most part that our third trimester was over and that spring break had begun, but at the same time, long vacations also meant having far more time on my hands than I knew what to do with. Especially spring break, since we don't even have homework. Staying at home would feel a bit odd. Anyway, with closing ceremonies over, I went to my classroom to receive my report card, and we were dismissed with an, "Okay, see you next school year." But I hesitated to go straight home. Yet it wasn't as if I had anywhere else to go, which meant loitering around school like some sort of suspicious fellow. I had no particular goal. I did it less to fill time than to kill time. While I biked to school, my bicycle was actually still parked in the school lot, another expression of my intention to not go home yet. You could say I was going for a walk. Of course, I'm not the health-conscious type. While it may have seemed like a good idea to kill time inside school, if killing time is what I wanted to do, just as I found being at home odd, in its own way, it was odd being at school, too. Though it may have been the afternoon after closing ceremonies, a lot of people were in the middle of their club activities. I don't like people who try hard. Well, it's not like the students at my school are that enthusiastic about their clubs. The only real exception was the girls' basketball team after this monstrously huge rookie joined as the result of some sort of mistake. Most of the other clubs, even the sports teams, were the kinds of outfits that were actually happy to receive participation trophies. And that's why, well, there's not any actual reason why. After aimlessly circling around the school a few times, I had begun to think that, yeah, it really is about time for me to pick up my bike from inside the school and head home. I'm hungry after all. When I came across an unexpected individual. With it already being spring break, I frankly don't know whether to describe myself at that time as a second year or a third year. But in any case, a celebrity in my grade, Tsubasa Hanekawa, was walking straight toward me. I wondered for a moment what she was doing with both her hands held there behind her head, until I realized she seemed to be adjusting the position of her braid. She wore her hair long behind her in a braid. While braids themselves are already rare to begin with these days, she also wore her bangs in a straight line. She was wearing her school uniform, a completely unaltered skirt falling 4 inches below her knees, a black scarf, a school sweater on top of her blouse as designated by school regulations, white socks and school shoes as designated by those same regulations, the very picture of a model student. a model student among model students, a class president among class presidents. She and I were in different classes during both our first and second years, so I doubted she knew who I was. But I had heard about her class presidential ways and doings. Since the rumors had gone so far to find their way to me, someone grossly ignorant of school gossip, even taken with a grain of salt, those ways and doings must have been quite something. She would no doubt continue to be class president as a third year. Plus, she had good grades. While it's an odd way to put it, I'd heard that she was freakishly smart. Getting perfect marks in all of her classes was like nothing to her. Sure, when all the students take the same test, someone ending up in first place is as much of a given as someone else ending up in last place. But for 2 years, Tsubasa Hanekawa had always maintained her spot on top. Though I had managed to get into a private prep school, now Uetsu High, I soon found myself in a position that you might call left behind, which meant there was a world of difference between us. In a way, you could call us polar opposites. And so, she caught my attention for a moment. We were in different classes, after all, so while I may have known of her, I rarely saw her. Yet it was her who I happened to see at that moment, right after closing ceremonies had ended. And that did surprise me a little. Well, a rare coincidence, that's all. She seemed to have just left through the school gates, so upon further consideration, it wasn't that strange to come across her, considering how I'd been loitering around the school for all that time. Naturally, Hanekawa didn't even notice me. It didn't seem to be in her field of vision, as engrossed as she was in fixing the position of her braid. And had I happened to be in it, Hanekawa and I wouldn't normally so much as nod at each other, given our relationship, or lack thereof. In fact, I thought that a model student like Hanekawa probably hated people with the kind of devil-may-care attitude that I had. She was serious, and I was not. Better if she didn't know about me. I'll just let her pass by, I thought. No reason to run away, either. I kept walking forward, not missing a step, as if I hadn't noticed her. And right as we were only 5 or so steps away each from passing by without incident, it happened. I doubt I'll ever forget that moment as long as I live. Out of absolutely nowhere, a gust of wind. I hadn't been able to stay silent despite myself. The front of Hanekawa's rather long pleated skirt, hanging 4 inches below her knees, flew straight up in the air. I assumed that under different circumstances, she would have reflexively pushed it back down into place. But thanks to some unfortunate timing, both of her hands were behind her head, engrossed in the complex operation that was fixing the position of her braid. From where I stood, she almost looked like she was putting on a mildly affected pose, her hands clasped behind her. And it was in that situation that her skirt was flipped up. Its contents were put into plain sight. They were certainly not gaudy, but they were the kind of elegant undergarments that refused to release one's gaze once a pair of eyes were attracted to them. They were tidy and pure white. It was not as if they were suggestively shaped. In fact, they seemed to be on the higher end of the surface area spectrum. A wide article made of thick cloth, by no means lascivious, and in fact, if one were to speak of them in that way, it would be reasonable to call them demure. Yet they were so white it was dazzling. And they were anything but plain. In the center, white string had been used to sew a complex embroidered pattern over a white canvas, no doubt intended to evoke flowers. The pattern, with its bilateral symmetry, acted to bring a sublime balance to the piece as a whole, and toward the top center of the embroidery sat a small ribbon. This one ribbon worked to further cement the impression of the whole. What's more, visibly just above that small ribbon was her abdomen and her cute belly button. Yes, her skirt had been flipped so far up that those parts of her were now immodestly exposed. Had I wanted to, I could even have scrutinized the tails of her blouse tucked into her skirt. I never knew that the shirt tails of a blouse could appear so salacious. The lining of a skirt was another fresh sight to my eyes. While I frequently caught sight of skirts, they seemed to be inviolable, mysterious existences. But I now felt as though, for the very first time, I understood the structure of this garment. But most of all, it was exquisite how only the front section of her skirt was flipped. Next to her pure white undergarment stood something else so proudly white, it was as if the two were in competition. Her thighs, which had no small amount of meat on them. Sitting behind the two, her navy blue skirt placed them in relief and emphasized the contrast. You could say her skirt, longer than the average girl's, was now serving like a blackout curtain to accentuate a graceful work of fine art. Even the skirt's pleats came across like they might be made of a fine velvet. And when coupled with that pose of hers, her hands joined behind her head, it practically seemed as if she was showing off her vaunted underwear to me. That was how she appeared in effect. She, Tsubasa Hanekawa, did not move so much as a finger. She must have been taken aback. She stood in that pose, allowing her skirt to stay flipped, with everything down to her expression frozen in place. In reality, I doubt that a solitary second went by. But for me, it was like an hour. No, it felt so long, I even began to imagine that my life might reach its natural end before this glimpse was over. This is absolutely not an exaggeration. In that moment, I experienced a lifetime. My eyes were so captivated by her lower half that I felt as though my eyes were about to grow dry. Of course, I understand. The gentlemanly thing to do in this kind of situation is to avert your eyes. Of course I understand that. In most cases, I probably would have done so. I even try my best to look down at my feet the entire while if a girl happens to be in front of me when I climb the stairs. But at that moment in time, I was not so polished a man that I could promptly behave in said manner, utterly unprepared, upon being visited by such a blessing out of the blue. It was like that image of Hanekawa was being burned into my retinas. If I were to die at that moment, and if my eyes were transplanted to another person, that someone would probably be haunted by visions of Hanekawa's underwear for life. That is how shocking it was. The underwear of a model student. Hold on. How long did I just go on describing a model student's panties? While I did return to my senses, by the time I did, Hanekawa's skirt was already back in place. It really had been an instant. As for Hanekawa, she still looked taken aback. And she was looking at me. She was staring at me. How was I to respond? What was I supposed to do at a time like this? I didn't see anything, you know? I tried a bald-faced lie. But my bald-faced lie received no reply from Hanekawa. She only continued to stare at me as she finally finished adjusting her braid and brought her hands down to pat her skirt a few times. Really? Now? For just a moment, she took her eyes off of me and made as if to implore heaven. Then she looked at me again and said, a bashful laugh. Wow, she laughs? What a broad-minded woman, indeed a class president among class presidents.
I don't know what to say.
Hop, hop, hop. Hanekawa kept both of her feet together as she bounded toward me, seeming to use nothing more than the joints of her knees for movement. We had been 10 steps away from each other, but now we were down to 3. A bit on the close side.
For something that's meant to hide what you don't want seen, skirts really are low security. Maybe I need the firewall of a pair of bike shorts after all.
Who knows? Her metaphor left me at a loss. So what does that make me, a virus? Fortunately for her, or possibly not, I'm not sure, no one else was around, including any other students from Naowetsu High. It was just me and Hanekawa. In other words, I was the only one to see her panties. While the fact made me feel a mild sense of superiority over the rest of mankind, let's put that aside for now.
A little while back, people liked talking about Murphy's Law. Maybe I should chalk it up to that. The front of your skirt only gets flipped when your hands are behind you. You're normally careful about the back of your skirt, but the front is actually more of a blind spot than you'd expect.
Yeah, maybe. How should I know? Or rather, yikes, how awkward. I didn't know if it was Hanekawa's intention to make me feel like she was berating me in a roundabout way, but that's how I felt. That said, and while it may not sound very convincing to you after I had looked that carefully at them, the fact that I had witnessed, even unintentionally, something that girls don't want seen made me feel undeniably guilty. Not only that, she was being so smiley, trying to make something out of it. Please stop. Well, don't worry. I might have lied when I said I didn't see them, but I couldn't see them very well because they were shaded. Of course, that was another lie. I saw them ridiculously well.
Huh.
Hanekawa tilted her head to one side.
As a girl, it would make me feel much more at ease if you just said you got a good look at them if you really did.
Well, I really do wish I could say that to you, but I simply can't tell you anything but the truth.
Is that so? You can't?
Yeah. It's too bad I can't make you feel at ease. If only I could lie to you.
Words from a man speaking nothing but lies for a while now.
So this feeling I had that you spent about 2 pages giving a precise description of what was under my skirt, down to the fine details, is all my imagination?
Totally your imagination. Super duper all your imagination. Until just now, I was painting a beautiful visual landscape using words pregnant with emotion. This technically was not a lie. Well, I should get going, I said, casually raising a hand to signal to Hanekawa that I had no intention of continuing our conversation, and began to step forward. I walked away with quick steps. I don't know. Hanekawa was probably going to head home, but I wondered if she was going to send a text message or something to her friends on her way back about how I saw her panties. While part of me doubted that a model student would do something like that, another part of me thought that she would do it precisely because she was a model student. No, Hanekawa probably didn't know my name, but she would have to at least know that we were in the same year, no? As rather overly self-conscious thoughts ran through my head, I began to slow my pace a bit, when...
Wait up a second!
I heard a voice from behind me. It was Hanekawa. She seemed to have chased after me, of all things.
I finally caught up to you. You're a fast walker.
Weren't you heading home?
Well, I'll go home eventually. And what about you, Araragi? Why are you headed back towards school?
She had my name down. What? It's not like I was wearing a name tag. Well, I was going back to pick up my bike, I said.
Aha! So you bike to school?
Well, yeah. My house is a little on the far side, and... Hold on, that wasn't the issue. Though it did seem like she hadn't known that I biked to school. Why do you know my name?
What? Of course I know it. We go to the same school, don't we?
Hanekawa said, like it was the most obvious thing in the world. The same school. She said it in the exact same way that someone might talk about knowing people in their own class. Who does that?
Well, Araragi, you might not know about someone like me, but you're pretty famous after all.
I couldn't help but go, huh? No, you're the famous one. And me of all people? My position with the Nauetsu Private High School was like that of a rock on the side of the road. I wasn't even certain if my own classmates knew my full name.
What's wrong, Araragi? Araragi, with the A written with the left radical for mound, together with the first character in possibility. The two Ra written with the good in good boy, and the Gi you used to write arbor. Your given name is Koyomi, as in the character for calendar, right? So, Koyomi Araragi.
Not only did she know my full name, she knew the exact characters used to write it. Seriously? She knew my name and my face. If she had a death note, I'd be dead. Well, I was in the same position with regards to her, too. You're Hanekawa. It wasn't in the way of retaliation, nor was I trying to hold my own. But what I did was to utter those words to her without even acknowledging what she'd said. You're Tsubasa Hanekawa.
Wow!
Hanekawa looked honestly and plainly surprised.
I'm amazed that you know someone like me,
she said. Tsubasa Hanekawa, who, during final exams of the first trimester of our second year, got only one answer wrong. A fill-in-the-blank across every subject, including health and PE as well as art.
What? That's... Hey, why do you know so much about me?
Hanekawa grew only more surprised.
It didn't seem to be an act.
Wait, are you stalking me, Araragi? Maybe putting it that way makes it sound like I have too much of a persecution complex?
No, not really. It seemed as if she didn't realize she was famous. She thought she was normal. A regular girl who had nothing to recommend her but being on the serious side? Was that it? Add to that the fact she was treating me like I was someone famous, and it got a little nasty. Of course, I did recognize that I had somewhat of a reputation as a washout. But even so, why call her out on it? I decided just to give her a bullshit answer. I heard about you from an alien friend.
What? You have friends, Araragi?
Ask about the alien bit first! I'm not the kind of person who normally flings retorts at people I'm meeting for practically the first time. But she managed to draw one out of me. Even if she didn't intend any malice by it. What a terrible thing to say.
Well...
Hanekawa said uncomfortably. Even she must have realized what she'd just said.
You're always alone, so I had the impression that you lived up in a world apart from everyone else.
You don't actually think I'm that cool, do you? She did seem to know a little bit about me. But not too much. Well, you're right that I don't have any friends. Which makes you so famous that even a friendless loser knows who you are, I said.
Oh, stop it.
Hanekawa sounded a little bothered by this. Her, a woman who quickly shrugged off with a single embarrassed smile, the contents of her skirt being exposed for the world to see.
I don't like jokes like that. Please don't make fun of me.
Oh, I decided to just nod, as objecting seemed likely to launch a full-on argument. Sheesh. The pedestrian crossing facing the school gates was red, and so I stopped there, and Hanekawa stood next to me. Why follow me? Did she forget something at school?
Hey, Araragi!
She began to speak just as I was wondering why.
Do you believe in vampires, Araragi?
Huh? What in God's name was she talking about? Then, a moment later, I came upon the answer. Oh. While she was acting calm, she was actually embarrassed that I'd seen her panties. That was no surprise, of course. While I was not by any means famous, Hanekawa did know who I was. And she even understood the state of my personal relationships, that I had no friends. She had probably heard rumors, and not good ones. So it wasn't strange for a model student to feel as though she'd made a slight blunder in allowing me a close, hard look. A happenstance glimpse of her underwear. I came to the conclusion that she was following after me in order to deal with it. Instead of parting ways right after I had seen her panties, she was plotting to overwrite my memories by following me and talking to me like that. Huh. Nice try, model student. Tossing out a bizarre topic like vampires wasn't going to erase my memories. What about vampires? I asked. Sure. If that was going to make her feel better, I'd play along and discuss whatever she wanted. Talking to her for a short while about a fruitless topic was a small price to pay for getting to see her panties.
Well, there have been some rumors lately that there's a vampire here in town. They say not to walk around alone at night.
What a vague and phony rumor, I said, letting slip my honest impression. Why would there be a vampire in a town in the middle of nowhere like ours?
Who knows?
Vampires are foreign yokai, right?
I don't think that's exactly what they are, but go on.
Whether you walk alone or with a group of 10 people, if you had to face a vampire, I don't think the outcome would change very much.
Well, that's true.
Hanekawa let out a little laugh. A lighthearted laugh. It somehow didn't seem like the kind of laugh she'd have. I realized that I'd been feeling as though something was off for a while now. I'd imagine Hanekawa to be a more self-important type after hearing people call her a model student, a class president among class presidents and all that. If anything, she was weirdly affable.
But there have been a lot of eyewitness reports,
she said. Eyewitness reports? Now that's funny. Round up these gentlemen.
Well, these aren't gentlemen.
She explained that it was something being said among the girls at school.
And not just the girls at our school. All the girls who go to school around here have heard about it. Actually, it's a rumor that's only spreading among the girls.
But a vampire?
I was amazed that a rumor like that had taken root.
They say the vampire is a beautiful blonde woman, but with eyes so cold they'll make your spine freeze.
Those are really specific details. But how does that make her a vampire? Couldn't she just be a normal person who stands out because she has blonde hair? After all, we were in a boring suburban town. A town out in the sticks, away from everything else. You didn't even see people with their hair dyed brown.
But,
Hanekawa said,
according to them, when she was under a street lamp, though her hair was blindingly bright, she didn't have a shadow.
Ah, vampire. While the word sounded old and hackneyed to me, it wasn't as if I was that familiar with vampires, but I did recall hearing something like that now that she mentioned it. Vampires don't cast shadows. Why was that again? Because they don't like the sun? But then this had been at nighttime. So she was in the light of a street lamp, but it still sounded like some trick of the eye. And besides, didn't that very street lamp cry out that it was a made-up piece of scenery? Made up, or maybe just cheap.
Well, yeah,
Hanekawa agreed. Despite my churlish reaction, she didn't seem particularly offended. She was good at talking and at listening.
I think it's a ridiculous rumor, too. But it's good from a safety standpoint. Thanks to it, girls aren't walking around by themselves at night anymore.
Well, I guess you're right about that.
But personally,
Hanekawa said, lowering her voice a bit,
if there's a vampire, I'd like to meet her.
Why? It seemed as though my prediction may have been off. I'd assumed she had brought up a fruitless topic in order to erase my memories of seeing her panties, but Hanekawa was sounding a little too enthused for that to be the case. And anyway, telling a uniformed male student about a rumor that's only spreading among the girls seemed odd when I thought about it. Won't she suck your blood and kill you if you do?
Okay, I don't want to get killed, so maybe it's not accurate to say that I want to meet her. But I just thought it'd be neat if someone like that existed. An existence greater than humans.
An existence greater than humans? Like a god?
It doesn't have to be a god.
Hanekawa went silent for a while, as if she was trying to pick her words carefully. Eventually, though, she said,
because in so many ways, where's the reward otherwise?
Without my noticing, the light had turned green. But Hanekawa and I both stood there. To be honest, not only did I have no idea what Hanekawa was saying, I didn't even know what she was trying to say. It felt almost as if her reply had nothing to do with my question.
Oh no, oh no,
she began to say, flustered. Had my expression betrayed my thoughts?
You know, Araragi, you're surprisingly easy to talk to. My tongue slipped, and I feel like I ended up saying something that didn't make much sense just now.
Yeah, well, you don't need to worry about it.
It's strange that you don't have any friends when you're this easy to talk to. Why don't you make some?
It was a direct question. She probably didn't mean ill. I knew that much. I hesitated to give an equally direct answer. The issue wasn't my not making friends, it was my not being able to make any. Which is why I gave that answer. Making friends would lower my intensity as a human.
What?
Hanekawa asked with a confounded expression.
Sorry, I don't really understand.
Well, you know, it's like, crap. I had tried to say something cool, but didn't have anything to follow it up with. In other words, if I had friends, I'd have to start worrying about them, right? If my friends were hurt, I'd feel hurt too, and if they felt sad, I'd feel sad too. You end up with more weak points, so to speak. I think that's the same as becoming weaker as a person.
But you have fun when your friends have fun, and you're happy when your friends are happy. So it's not all about becoming weaker, is it? You might gain more weak points, but you'd gain advantages too.
No, I replied, shaking my head. I'd feel envious when my friends were having fun, and jealous when they were happy.
How petty of you.
She nailed me. Leave me alone. Even if what you said was true, that would average out to zero, I said. It wouldn't make a difference whether you had friends or not. No, there are more bad things that happen in this world than good. So it'd be a net negative in the end, wouldn't it?
Now that's a cynical thing to say.
Hanekawa took back what she said about me being easy to talk to. What a limited time evaluation, I thought. But that was fine. It's best to clear up those kinds of misunderstandings as soon as possible. You see, I want to become a plant, I said.
A plant?
That way I wouldn't have to talk. Or walk, either. Hanekawa did give me a cursory nod.
But you still want to be a living thing.
Huh?
In that case, you normally say that you want to become something inorganic, like stone or iron.
I felt as if something unexpected had been pointed out to me. I wasn't lying. I had honestly felt for a long time that I wanted to become a plant, but I hadn't anticipated a counterargument from that angle. I see. Inorganic, huh? She was right. Plants are alive.
I was thinking of going to the library,
Hanekawa said.
While I was talking to you, I started to feel like I wanted to go to the library.
What sort of mental circuitry was I dealing with? She did say that she was going to go home eventually, so she must not have had any particular plans. While she had time, just as I did, you could either kill it wandering around outside of school or go to the library. Maybe that was the wall separating the flunkies from the model students.
It'll be closed tomorrow because it's a Sunday, so I need to go by there today.
Huh.
Do you want to come with me?
Why? I asked with a sarcastic laugh. The library. I didn't even know we had one of those things in our town. What are you going to do at the library?
What else? Study.
What else? This time I was flabbergasted. Sorry, but I'm not enough of an oddball to study on my own during spring break when we don't even have homework.
But we'll be taking entrance exams only next year, you know?
Entrance exams. Just graduating seems like a shaky prospect for me. It's too late for me. I'm a lost cause. The most I can do is try not to be late for school too often next year. Hanekawa mumbled, almost as if bored. Why, I wondered. It couldn't be that she wanted me to come with her. But Hanekawa didn't say anything more. Oh well. I knew she wasn't some proud, self-important character, but I didn't know what she was. The light had been going from red to green to red again. Now it was red. I thought that next time it turned green would be when I should leave. Yes, that would be the perfect time. I was sure Hanekawa thought the same. She wasn't someone who couldn't suss the mood.
Araragi, do you have a cell phone?
Well, yeah, of course.
Can I borrow it?
She asked, then held out her hand. I didn't know what she was planning on, but I obliged, taking my phone out of my pocket and handing it to Hanekawa.
Oh, isn't this a new model?
She said. I upgraded just the other day. It's my first new one in 2 years, so it has all these new features I don't even know how to use.
You're still young. Don't be so pathetic. If you're saying things like that now, civilization is going to pass you by all the more once you become an adult. If you're already on the wrong side of the digital divide, you won't even be able to live a decent life in the future.
Well, in that case, I guess I'll have to go live up in a mountain somewhere. Then once civilization crumbles, I'll come back to this town.
Exactly how long do you plan on living?
Was I immortal or what? She sighed. Moments after our exchange, Hanekawa began messing with my phone. While she may have been a class president among class presidents, the very picture of a model student, she was still a high school girl, and thus ridiculously fast at typing on a phone. It wasn't as if my phone contained any sort of personal information that I didn't want other people seeing, but don't be messing with people's phones, all right? Or, I wondered, could she actually be suspecting me of having used my phone's camera to sneak a picture when her skirt was flipped? If so, I wanted her to scour the thing. I wanted to wipe out such a disgraceful suspicion. But at any rate, it must be hard being a girl, worrying about so many things all the time. If a guy had his fly open, all he had to do was claim that he was being a sexy commando or something. Or maybe not.
Thanks. Here. You can have it back.
Hanekawa returned my phone to me in no time at all. No pics, right? I prompted.
Huh?
She tilted her head.
Pics?
Nothing. Oops. Had I misread her?
Then what exactly had she been up to? Hanekawa seemed to pick up on my puzzlement because she pointed to the phone that I still held, unable to return it to my pocket, and said,
I put my number and email address in there.
You did what?
Too bad for you. You just made a friend.
And then, before I could say a single word in response, she ran to the other side of the crossing. The light had turned green without my noticing. That was how I was planning on leaving, and now it felt like she'd stolen my thunder. Wait, wasn't she going to go to the library? No, since she decided to go to the library mid-conversation with me, her heading in the opposite direction now wasn't strange at all. When she crossed to the other side, Hanekawa turned back to me and waved a,
See you later!
I reflexively returned her wave. Once she saw me waving my hand, like an idiot, I assume, she turned back around, made a right in front of the school gate, and walked off in a cheerful mood. She soon turned the corner and went out of sight. After I was sure she was gone, I checked my phone. To see it was true. A Tsubasa Hanekawa had been registered in my contacts list. A phone number and an email address. I had never used the contacts feature on my phone before. I remembered all the numbers I needed, though I don't say this to brag about my memory. It's not something I could brag about since the only ones I had memorized were my home phone number and my parents' cell phone numbers. My sent and received call history was enough for any others. I simply didn't have many friends. And that's how Tsubasa Hanekawa became the first number to be registered on my phone. What's her deal? Her actions hovered beyond my comprehension. A friend? Is that what she said? A friend? Did she mean it? To begin with, while we may have known each other's names, what was a young lady like her doing casually handing her contact info out to a guy she'd basically spoken to for the first time? Or was I just being old-fashioned about this? I didn't know. But as much as I didn't know, there was one thing I did know now. Tsubasa Hanekawa, the model student among model students, the class president among class presidents, not only wasn't a stuck-up, self-important character, she's pretty damn cool. A class president among class presidents. Tsubasa Hanekawa. It was her, whom I happened across the afternoon of closing ceremonies, that I would meet again during spring break, though I had no way of knowing it at the time. I didn't even feel a sliver of a premonition. Chapter 003. And then night came, that day's incident still fresh in my mind. Night. I was walking around the town after it had become totally dark. While I'd walked, not biked, around school for no particular reason earlier, I now had a clear motive. I own two bicycles, by the way. One is a granny bike that I use to go to school, the other is my pet mountain bike. The latter is my companion, to such a degree that I wish I could ride it everywhere. Yet at that precise moment, I could not. If my securely locked bicycle stored in the entrance of my house was gone, someone in my family would notice that I had left the house. Putting aside when I was younger, my family's current approach to me could be described as completely hands-off. You could even say that they've decided to neglect me. So, unlike my two little sisters, I don't have anything like a curfew or a ban on going outside at night. Not that my sisters care about such rules. But there are times when I want to go out without my family knowing. For example, when I want to go buy a porn mag. It won't be a pleasant sight, but allow me to defend myself. I couldn't get the image of Hanekawa's panties I had seen that afternoon out of my head. Am I digging my grave in quicksand here? Either way, that was the truth. Though I said I would likely never forget the image, I didn't actually expect it to get seared in my memory so vividly. Even after I parted ways with Hanekawa that afternoon, her panties stayed with me, never leaving my mind. I had thought at the time that were my retinas to be transplanted to another person, that person would suffer hallucinations of Hanekawa's panties. Over 10 hours later, my hypothesis still obtained.
damn it. I was sure we'd talked about a lot of things after that. So what was I to make of the fact that her panties had left the strongest impression? While my memory of those panties refused to recede, I'd forgotten nearly everything else. This when she was cool. Hanekawa was a cool person. That fact only added to a guilt that I had no business bearing. It needled my heart. Hanekawa was so cool. Yet the feelings that I harbored toward her bordered on lust. But then again, I wondered. How long had it been since I'd last seen panties in the wild? While Naowetsu High may be a prep school, half of its students are still high school girls. Some of them wear their skirts short for fashion reasons. While there were close shaves where I got glimpses, I probably hadn't seen panties worn on a girl in such a naked and perfect form, even in middle school. Thinking back to elementary school, well, no point in counting those. Ah, then it was for the first time in my life. I mean, it had felt like an 80s rom-com manga or something. And in a way I hadn't even imagined, a flag had popped up for me, like in a dating sim, over Tsubasa Hanekawa, a girl I'd assumed stood beyond my sphere of connections. Damn it. Wasn't that foul play? As in, I doubt a girl who saw a boy's underwear would start feeling the way I did? No fair. Of course, while I likened it to a sign popping up over her head, on further consideration, all that had happened was the two of us passed by each other. We hadn't even truly met. Surely Hanekawa didn't even remember talking to me a little past noon that day. So there really was no need for me to feel guilty. But that's another way I was a petty fellow. But anyway, as I finished my dinner, I began to think that I couldn't leave things as they were. When I realized that I might be living with a guilty conscience for a long time, perhaps the rest of my life, I shivered. A cool person. And even if she wasn't, as friends. See, I thought, this is why I hate having them. My intensity as a human had dropped considerably. I was having to worry about this? And that's why once it was completely dark outside my window, I put the studying sign on the door and snuck out of the house. To buy a dirty magazine from the one place in town you could call a major bookstore. I completed my mission and began to head home, having bought two. Naturally, I never try to do something as unmanly as buy a dirty magazine together with a regular book to put on a show for the bookstore employee. I'd buy two magazines rather than do such a thing. That's the kind of man I am. If Hanekawa is a class president among class presidents, I'm a man among men. Though I do check to make sure there isn't anyone I know in the store, at least. Anyway, my plan was to read the dirty magazine so thoroughly that the images in my head would be overwritten. It was my own take on the idea Hanekawa must have had when she'd come chasing after me. While I ended up thinking that Hanekawa's ruse never had a chance of working, though I now realized that probably wasn't her intention, overriding one dirty thought with another was certainly a plan. Erasing a memory might be impossible, but overriding it maybe wasn't. The issue was that it was the only one, unique. If it was one among many, then its presence would fade as a result. There had to be a large difference between naked flesh and photos, but quantity could make up for that. Taking the nature of the earlier situation into account, both of the magazines I purchased had a primary focus on high school girls and their underwear. Since I had already bought a number of dirty magazines in the beginning of March, spending any more was a burden on my wallet, to be honest. But desperate times called for desperate measures. Better a wallet ache than a headache. I didn't have a choice in this matter. I couldn't allow myself to keep having such indecent thoughts about Hanekawa. The guilt would kill me. People talk about dying of boredom, but guilt can kill you too. Oh boy. If only she'd just smacked me then and there. Still friends? I muttered, holding the paper bag with the two magazines in one hand and my phone in the other, checking through its contacts list. It's not like I need them or anything. Still, being told that kind of thing made me think, when did I get this way? I want to say I played well with others in middle school, to say nothing of elementary school. In that case, was it after I entered high school and turned into a slacker? How simple. I overreached in picking high schools, got in by mistake, fell behind, and didn't see things the way those around me did. Because I had failed. No, was that really it? Even then, I must have had a chance to fix things. My grades may have been poor, but it wasn't as if I was being discriminated against, and I wasn't despised. I should have had more than enough opportunities to make friends. The party that was rejecting those opportunities was none other than myself. Sometimes I just don't know. I don't want friends, but is that just me making excuses for myself for not having friends? Friends. It's not as if I can't live without them. People without friends can just hang out with other friendless people. Really, it isn't as if I'm alone. To give an extreme example, this guy who was in my class both my first and second years rarely talked to anyone as far as I could tell. So it's fine. That's one way of living your life. But I don't feel like I want to make friends, and I certainly don't feel like I want a girlfriend. But why is it I can't stop having dirty thoughts? Such a mystery. A single pair of panties had shaken me so profoundly that I was ultimately moved to contribute to the circulation of currency. Didn't I know that it was basically just a piece of cloth? Before, I had wondered, why do girls go out of their way to wear those things and gussy themselves up? What are they, perverts? But I'd had it the wrong way around. It's not like you can't buy those. No, wait. Buying a used pair? That would be a crime. Even if it's not technically a crime, it's downright criminal. God, I wish I could turn into a plant. Then I wouldn't have anything to do with these desires. But turning into stone or iron, I've never wished it, nor could. Is that just another way of being small, as a person? This late already. Though I'd intentionally leapt into the bookstore right before closing time, it was quite late after all of the wandering around I'd done. In fact, the date on the calendar had changed. It was already March 26th. Spring break had officially started. I put my phone back in my pocket and began to hurry home, my pace quick. The large bookstore I had gone to was farther from my home than what I would normally consider walking distance. In fact, locationally, it wasn't too far from school. I had more or less walked a distance that I normally biked. Of course it took time, but I'd taken a little too much time. I had no reason to get home early, but still, I couldn't be too late. There was always the chance my little sisters would barge into my room without asking, too. Knowing those two, they were apt to put everything together if they saw that I wasn't at home but my bicycle was. They're perceptive when it comes to that kind of thing. Oh, speaking of which, I suppose I've seen my little sisters' underwear before. They walk around in them after getting out of the bath, after all, but I guess that doesn't count. Putting that aside, whether or not I was at risk of being discovered, it was late enough to be even darker out than when I'd left home. It'd be idiotic if I got myself hit by a car. I think all guys share this anxiety. We are never more careful on our way home from buying a dirty magazine than on any other itinerary. I mean, what if you got in an accident and your belongings were inspected? A primary focus on high school girls and their underwear. If Hanekawa somehow managed to find out about it, of course she'd misunderstand. But that's not it. If anything, this is a way to safeguard your chastity from me. No, that's not my intention at all. Well, to be honest, this kind of pointless suspense is more fun than anything else. I couldn't deny that it was dangerous to be out, as dark as it was. But I lived in a sleepy town. There were few cars on the road to begin with, and they were easy to spot with their headlights. So my fear was irrational, but that said, wasn't it a little too dark? I looked up toward the sky, and I realized why. There was no light coming from the street lamps. The lamps that were installed every 15 feet were barely emitting any light. Actually, less than barely. Only one was lit. Were they broken? But so many of them couldn't go out of service at once. Was it a power outage then? But in that case, it didn't make sense for just one to still be on. And while I thought this, I continued walking with the vague notion that these things happened. No point in giving it too much thought. I said earlier that I had no reason to hurry home, but come to think of it, My mission required that I return as soon as possible to peruse the publications I'd purchased. My mission had utmost priority.
Yi.
And that's why.
Hail, Yi thither. I, thee.
And that's why, even if someone called out to me like that, I'd ignore it and keep head. Yi? Who in this day and age called out like that? Despite my intentions, I reacted. I looked into the direction of the voice, and it was when I did that I was truly struck speechless. Illuminated under the one working street lamp, was she.
It shall be thy privilege to aid me.
Her blonde hair looked completely incongruous for our provincial town. Her well-defined face, her cold eyes. She had a chic dress on her, and it too seemed incongruous. No, in the case of the dress, I mean it in a different way. Surely once elegant and refined, it was now anything but. Ripped to pieces, torn asunder. It seemed like a tattered piece of fabric, in such bad condition that even a dust cloth might look more proper. Though to look at it another way, the fact that the dress still exuded a sense of its original extravagance spoke volumes on its own.
Can ye not hear me? I am telling thee that it shall be thy privilege to aid me.
She was staring at me. I felt as though my body might freeze in her sharp, cold glare. But perhaps there was no need to be that afraid. After all, she seemed to be dead tired. Leaning on the lamp for support, she lay sitting on the paved asphalt. No, lay sitting isn't right either. It would be better to say that she'd collapsed. Glaring at me was all she was capable of. Or rather, even if she hadn't been exhausted, hadn't collapsed, she probably couldn't have held me with anything beyond a glare. To begin with, she had no hands with which to hold me. Her right arm from around the elbow, her left arm from the joint of its shoulder. Each had been lopped off. And that was not all. Her body was in a similar state below her torso. Her right leg from around the knee. Her left leg from the base of its thigh. Each had been severed. Well, only the right leg showed an exceptionally sharp cut. I could see a clear cross-section. It looked nothing like the disgusting, torn state of the other wounds on the right arm, and left leg. But the exact state of the cross-sections was trivial. To put it simply, she had lost every one of her four limbs. And it was in this state that she had collapsed under the street lamp. Forget about tired. What she was dying. Hey, are you okay? They speak of your heart ringing like an alarm bell. I had always thought that to be a figure of speech, but it was exactly how it felt at that moment. My heart rang so hard it hurt. My heart was running wild, as if it was trying to alert me to an impending crisis, like an alarm bell. I'll get an ambulance right away! She wasn't bleeding nearly as much as someone whose limbs had been severed should be. But at the time, my mind could not process even that fact. I took out the phone I'd just stored back in my pocket, but was too jittery to press the right buttons. Wait, what was the number for an ambulance? 117? 115? Damn it, I should have put it in my contacts if this was going to happen.
An ambulance. I have no need of such.
She, though every one of her limbs had been severed, still conscious, she addressed me in her forceful, dated manner.
Instead, give me thy blood.
My fingers froze on the keypad. And then, I remembered my conversation with Hanekawa early in the afternoon. A rumor that was only spreading among the girls. What was it again? What did we talk about again? Night. Something about night and not walking around alone and... blonde hair. Blonde hair. In the light of the street lamp, that blonde hair seemed dazzlingly bright. And also, no shadow. With none of the other street lamps in the area working, and under the only one lit, She seemed to be basking in the spotlight atop a stage. Blonde hair truly bedazzling. But really, she had no shadow. Not a shadow didn't capture it. No shadow for real. And she said,
"My name is Kishat Acerola Orion, Heart Underblade. The iron-blooded, hot-blooded, yet cold-blooded vampire."
Her clothes tattered, her body limbless, but her tone domineering. Beyond her parted lips were two sharp fangs. Sharp fangs.
"I shall consume thy blood as mine own flesh. So, give me thy blood."
"Isn't a vampire," I said, gulping, "supposed to be immortal?"
"I've lost too much blood. Neither regeneration nor transformation is possible for me in this state. Unless something is done, I will die. A worthless human such as thee should be honored to become my flesh and blood."
My legs wouldn't stop shaking. What in the world was going on? What in the world was I getting dragged into? Why did a vampire suddenly appear in front of me, to be dying already? That which is not supposed to exist. A vampire, existing. That which is not supposed to die. A vampire, dying. What kind of reality was this?
Hey!
As I stood shaken and speechless, she seemed to scowl at me. Or perhaps it was a scowl of agony. After all, she had lost all of her limbs.
What is the matter? Thou hast the privilege of rescuing me. Is there any greater honor? Ye need not do a thing. Present me with thy neck, and I shall do the rest.
Blood? Can't you settle for a transfusion or something? It was not a very thought-out question, even by my own standards. What was I trying to say? Was I kidding? She, Kishat Acerora Orion, Heart Underblade, must have thought the same, and didn't reply. No, she just might have lacked the energy to reply. "How much do you need?" She answered this question, possibly because it was specific.
"For the time being, I will be tided over with thy body's worth."
"Oh, just my body's. Wait! But that'd kill me!" I almost shot back at her like the straight man in a comedy routine, but swallowed my words. Her eyes had given me pause. Cold eyes. Eyes looking at food. She wasn't being the funny man, and was quite serious. Worthless human. She was on the verge of death, and was trying to survive by eating me. She wasn't seeking my assistance. She just wanted to prey on me. To survive all on her own, you know? Right. What was I thinking and doing? Why was my thought process premised on helping this woman? How absurd. We're talking about a vampire, all right? In other words, a monster. Who knew how she lost her limbs and ended up nearly dead there? But it couldn't be for any respectable reason. What good would come out of getting mixed up in it? Discretion is the better part of valor, no? Why venture when there's nothing to gain? She wasn't human, and existed apart from humanity. An existence greater than humans. That's how Hanikawa put it.
"What is the matter? Thy blood. Give me thy blood. Hurry. Hurry up! Why do ye dally, laggard?"
Faced with this vampire, who spoke as though I would oblige as a matter of course, never dreaming to do otherwise, my feet took a step. A step back. I'd be okay. If I ran, I could probably get away. It didn't matter if she was a vampire or a monster. Her arms and legs had been torn off, and I'd get away. She probably couldn't even chase after me. I just needed to run. The same thing that I've always done was all I needed to do to reject this reality too. And when I moved my other foot back...
You jest.
Her eyes grew weak and frail. as if the ice they had held until moments ago had never been there at all.
Ye fail to aid me?
A monster in a tattered dress, limbs cruelly shorn, shadowless even under a street lamp. But I thought her, with her blonde hair, beautiful. As pretty. I was drawn to her, from the bottom of my heart. I couldn't take my eyes off of her. And I couldn't take another step away. Not because I was cowering in fear, or because my body wouldn't stop shaking. I just couldn't move.
No way!
Her haughty diction crumbled, and from her eyes, the same color as her hair, golden, overflowed large tears. Like a child, she began to sob.
No way! No way! I don't want to die! 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 Help me! Help me! Help me! Please! Please! If you help me, I'll do anything you say if you help me!
She screamed, painfully, unabashedly, as if I wasn't there. Uncontrollably, she cried and screamed. She bawled.
I can't die! I can't die! I don't want to disappear! I don't want to vanish! No! Somebody! 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 Somebody!
Who? Nobody would ever help a vampire. No matter how much she cried or screamed, I couldn't let myself be moved. I mean, I'd die. A body's worth of blood? I'd always been too scared even to donate any. It's just this kind of thing that I hated, right? I hate being burdened by other humans. So a monster? The weight was too much for me to even imagine carrying. Just try having a vampire as your burden. See how much your intensity as a human drops then. Her tears began to turn blood red. I couldn't say, but it seemed to signal death. A vampire's death. Tears of blood.
I'm sorry. 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 I'm sorry.
Finally, her words had turned from plea to apology. What was she apologizing for? Who was she apologizing to? Whatever the case, I couldn't bear to watch her apologizing like that. For reasons unknown, and to an unknown being. I had a feeling she probably wasn't supposed to be doing that. A being like her wasn't supposed to die so miserably. At that late stage, I let out a yell and began to run. I forced my immobile legs into action, turning my back to her with all my heart and all my strength. I took off running. I could still hear her voice behind me, apologizing. Was I the only one hearing her voice? Might someone else not go there summoned by it? Kishot, a Serola Orion Heart Underblade. Wouldn't someone try to help her? Of course not. They would die. And in any case, she was a monster. A vampire. No need to help her, right? Of course I know that! I slammed the paper bag I'd been carrying into the garbage collection area I'd come to. The paper bag holding the two dirty magazines. You're supposed to take your trash out in the morning, but there was no garbage collection on Sundays to begin with. My chucking them there, nonetheless, was a minimal show of conscience. Some lucky middle school kid would probably come and pick them up. It seemed like a waste, but I didn't need them anymore. If anything, they'd be a nuisance. How could I be holding on to dirty magazines when I was about to head to my death? A guy had to be more careful on his way home from buying a dirty magazine than on any other itinerary. Had I not known that damn well? My intensity as a human had plummeted and crashed. As I began to head back and return to that street lamp, tears began to fall from my eyes too. My parents. My two little sisters. As someone who had avoided human contact, those were about the only people who came to mind. And the fact that there were only four of them was enough on its own to make me cry. It's not as if my family was particularly close. Especially after I began high school and started to fall behind, a weird, unbridgeable gap seemed to yawn open between me and my parents. I didn't dislike them or hate them. It must have been the same for them, too. Simply
a gap had formed. These things happened during adolescence. I explained it to myself that way, but if I knew this was going to happen, I'd have talked to them more. Snuck away and went missing, eh? My sisters would probably deduce that something had happened to me on the way home from buying dirty magazines, even though I'd thrown them away. Oh well. Even they wouldn't air our family's dirty linen. I loved you, Monsieur. I wiped away my tears. Hey, come to think of it, not having many people to remember was a good thing. If I had friends or something, I'd run out of time. In fact, the choice I was now making seemed possible only because I hadn't built any relationships beyond family. And so I returned to the street lamp. The blonde vampire was still there, just as I had left her. She wasn't even crying anymore. She wasn't screaming anything either. Though she was sniffing and hiccuping, she seemed to have given up.
Don't give up, stupid!
I ran over to her as I screamed the words, leaned in, and then I thrust out my own neck.
You'll do the rest, I take it?
Huh?
She opened her eyes. Surprise overtook her face.
So you're good with it?
Of course I'm not, damn it! Bastard. 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 Why? How did things end up this way?
How? Of course I know how!
I screamed.
It's because I've wasted my whole life not doing a single worthwhile thing!
I screamed with everything I had.
There isn't a single reason for me to bother staying alive! Not a single reason for me to value my own life over someone else's! The world wouldn't care one bit if I died!
Neither beautiful nor pretty. If that was my life, then to allow this beautiful thing to live, shouldn't the choice be for me to die? Wasn't that the logical conclusion? I was but a worthless human. The vampire was a greater creature, wasn't it?
I swear, I'll make something better of my next life. I'll be reborn as someone who's glib, who dances around relationships, who doesn't feel guilty over every little detail, who can leave things to chance without having to worry so much, who doesn't feel any doubts about insisting on getting his way, and who's able to blame everything bad in his life on others. And that's why.
So I said, at least uttering the words myself. My point of pride as a lower being.
I'll help you. Suck my blood. I'll give it all to you. Don't leave a drop behind. Wring me dry.
For the first time since she was born, I'm speculating here, Kishot Acerola Orion Heart Underblade gave thanks to a being other than herself.
Thank you.
Shink. A sharp pain ran through my neck, and I realized that I had been bitten by her. I instantly began to lose consciousness, and with my last wisp of awareness, I remembered. Tsubasa Hanekawa. Her. If I had friends or something, I could run out of time, okay? Now, that was close. If I'd thought about her just a little earlier, I might not have made it. Talk about annoying. Well, fine. We'd spent no more than 10 short minutes together. But if I was going to die embracing my recollections of coming across Hanekawa, that wasn't so bad. And no, in this case, I don't mean my recollection of Hanekawa's underwear. Seriously, what kind of way to go would that be? Let me act cool in my final moments at least. And so, that is how I, Koyomi Araragi, after 17 years and change, met my abrupt, unannounced, and unexpected end. Or should have.